Matthew 16:26 says, "For what would it profit a man if he could gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul?" Over the last several weeks, we've been talking about the power of a word fulfilled. Today, we're bringing that sermon series to a climax, talking about the betrayal of Judas Iscariot. And today, I want us to look at not only Judas's betrayal, but I want us to look at the Apostle Peter, how both of them betrayed. Both had regret, but one had regret without repentance that led to death, whereas the other, Peter, had regret, but mixed with repentance led to restoration and redemption. This morning, I want everyone in here to experience the latter, that if you walked in here with any guilt or regret, that before this day is done, you might leave here with that weight lifted off of your shoulders. So, a pointed question, to say the least. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? Judas Iscariot answered that question just months after Jesus posed it in Matthew chapter 16. He sold his Savior for 30 pieces of silver, the modern day equivalent of an iPad, Beats Audio, or a middle rate phone. Let's just say the Samsung Galaxy 2, okay? Or the iPhone 3. And so today I want you to think about that for just a moment. Would you ever sell your Savior? What price would you put upon him? And I know that many of us, our first inclination would be to say, you know what, I would never betray him. Just as Peter promised moments before his own betrayal, Jesus said three times, "Peter, before the rooster crows in the morning, you will deny me." So this morning, as we're talking about betrayal, I hope that you guys would realize that we all have betrayed. In our sin, we've all betrayed. And we all carry the weight of that betrayal, but it's how we handle it, how we deal with it, what we let God do in our lives that will determine whether we live a life that is full of joy, peace, and redemption, or whether we carry around guilt and regret for the things that we have done. So let's get into this morning's message, and let's just think for ourselves, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? And as we think about Judas, I want you to know that there's a very specific event the Bible outlines in John chapter 12 where Judas made his decision to betray. And many of you probably know that Judas betrayed, but many of you probably don't know the event that occurred that caused him to say, you know what, I'm no longer on Team Jesus. Not that he ever was in his heart, but at least in his words and in his affiliation, he was on Team Jesus. We might even call him a bandwagon fan. You guys everybody know what a bandwagon fan is? Whenever they're winning, everybody's rooting for them. But when things start going downhill, they jump, right? And some of us, maybe at times, we tend to be bandwagon fans. So there's a very specific event 6 days prior to Jesus going to the cross that occurred that caused Judas to betray Christ. And I want us to look as we walk down through this story, because as we're going to watch in just a little while an extended version of the betrayal in the Passion of the Christ, as we walk down through that, I think that many of our minds might go to this place. Why would Judas do this? Has that ever crossed your mind? Like, why? After all that he had seen, all the sermons, all the miracles, why? Why, Judas? I don't know if you're ever watching a scary movie, and there's always the person that kind of separates themselves from the crowd, like, I'm going to run down to the basement right quick to check on the fuse box. What happens to that person, right? You know, it's over for that person, right? The whole group's not going to die. It's always the one that kind of wanders off. This morning, I think as we watch Judas and this scene unfold, all of our hearts, we're like watching a movie where we know the end and we're saying to ourselves, why? Why, Judas? Judas missed some important moments, wouldn't you agree, that as he was watching the whole life of Jesus unfold before his very eyes, he missed some clues along the way that caused him to make some mistakes that ultimately led to his death. So this morning, I hope that we might learn from Judas's mistakes, that we might be able to see the moments as they are and not miss them, all the things that God is trying to clue us in about what this life is really about. Here on Easter Sunday, I hope that you know you have the total clarity of thought about what your life is supposed to be lived for, that Jesus Christ loves you supremely, that he died as a substitute for your sins, and that he offers you forgiveness and a pardon and eternal life this morning. So with that in mind, let's walk down through this story with Judas. And as we see some things that Judas misses, I'm going to point them out to you and maybe cause you to reflect this morning of maybe sometimes I think we miss the message that God is trying to get to us. And I hope that through Judas's mistakes, we might be more tuned in this morning and maybe refreshed and challenged in our spiritual lives. It says 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was. I want to give you the setting is Matthew 26 tells us that this is at Simon the leper's house, okay? So Simon, the guy that had leprosy, is hosting a dinner in Jesus' honor, and Lazarus is there. And it says, you know that Lazarus guy, verse 1, whom Jesus raised from the dead? He was there. So they gave a dinner for him there, and Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Now let's just stop there, all right? Let's notice the first thing that Judas is going to miss, okay? Context clues. Does everybody know what context clues are by show of hands, okay? If you have small children, you should know what context clues are, okay? Because you have to teach them to read. And when children learn how to read, how do they do it? They open the big book, right? And it's like the one with the pictures, right? Some of you still like to read those books, okay? So you open it up, and it's got an airplane, and then the word under it is airplane, right? So they deduce from looking at the picture what the message is. So there's all kinds of context clues that Judas was blowing past, because this event is going to be where he decides to betray Christ. So let's just pull back and look at the context. He is at Simon the leper's house. Now, if you don't know what leprosy is, it's because we've largely in the modernized world eradicated this disease. But a leprosy was whenever a person contracted an infection, and it was a bacterial virus, and it would eat away the skin, and it would start at the extremities, the toes and the fingers, and eventually it would eat away enough flesh that you would die. Can you imagine a more horrible diagnosis? If you went to the doctor next week and they're like, yep, turns out you got leprosy. I mean, that'd be a bad day. Would everybody agree? Leprosy, bad day, right? And so here was Simon the leper's house. Now, I guess they had so many Simons that you just kind of got named for whatever you did. So we know that Peter was like Simon, right? I guess the fisherman. And so this guy was called Simon, you know, that guy that used to be rotting away, and now he has nice, you know, moisturized skin. And so he's Simon the leper. So Judas is sitting inside a guy's house who had an incurable disease that Jesus healed. So Jesus is able to cure the incurable. He's able to heal what no physician could treat. And so that's the first context clue. Wait a minute. He can heal sicknesses that doctors cannot fix. And then sitting beside Jesus at Simon the leper's house is who? Is Lazarus. Lazarus, a couple of months before, was dead, all right? Jesus showed up on the scene, and his sister, Mary, said, you know what, Jesus, if you could have only been here, if you could have only gotten here a little sooner, then he would not have passed away. And Jesus, I love Jesus. Do y'all love Jesus this morning? Because I do. I love Jesus because Jesus has a flair for the dramatic, right? He's like, no, no, no. You don't understand. The reason why I let him die, now think about that for a moment. I mean, he's God, right? I let him die was to demonstrate my Father's power over death. And then he looked at Mary and he said, roll back the stone. And now this is where it got real. Like sometimes the Bible is like very, very graphic, right? And they said to him, wait a minute, Jesus. What's in there by now? It's been 4 days. It's going to stink. And Jesus said, no, you don't understand. What is impossible for you is possible for me. Roll back the stone. And some of you walked in here this morning, and if we could see behind your stone, there's some stuff in there, right, that you don't want out in the... You got some skeletons. Everybody's got some skeletons in our closets that we don't want anybody else to know about. Not even... We try to hide it from God, and we try to hold him off from what he's trying to accomplish. He says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus wraps himself out of his little mummified state and comes strolling out of his dead tomb. Now, a couple of months later, 6 days before Jesus is going to be betrayed, Judas is sitting in the room with Simon the leper and Lazarus, the dead guy, who is now walking around talking. Now, context clues, people. Context clues. If you don't know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, all you have to do is look around you. How many times has he tried to get the message to you? But if you're like Judas, if you're like Judas this morning, you're missing the moments. The next thing that happened, it says that Mary, therefore, took a pound of expensive ointment or perfume and made of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled. I love this picture. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him. You notice that John, the apostle John, is not cutting him any slack, right? You know, like Simon the leper, you got Peter the fisherman, and you got Lazarus, the dead guy who rose again. And now Judas, oh yeah, he's the one that's about to betray him. As he's recounting the story, he said, why was this ointment not sold to the market? And then we could have taken the money and we could have given it to the poor. Now that's how he wrapped it, right? People that are like Judas, they know how to wrap up even their most selfish desires in spiritual garb. Have you ever seen someone that we call them super Christians around here? I don't know if y'all ever seen a super Christian. Everything that they say and everything that they talk about, it's like, you know, well, Jesus said, well, the Spirit gave me this. You know, okay. And then, like, everything they say, even though they wrap it in spiritual garb, you can tell that they're all about themselves. So how can you be simultaneously selfish and claim that you're all about the Savior? You can't do it, right? Can everybody get amen on that? That's fake, right? You're fake. If you're a super Christian this morning, you are fake. You are phony. You are a fraud. And Jesus knows how to expose a fraud. And John the Apostle did not mince words. What does he say? It says, but Judas, one of the disciples, the one that was about to betray him, he said, why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? He said this. Here's John. It just, pounded him. You can't handle the truth, right? He said, not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge over the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Every now and then, old Judas would dip into the treasury fund for whatever he thought was important for himself. It says in verse 10, but Jesus, switching Matthew, it's the synoptic gospel, so they're just telling from a different point of view. It says, but Jesus, aware of this, said to him, why do you trouble this woman? He says, she has done a beautiful thing for me. Man, if whenever you get wrapped in yourself, you can't see the beauty of sacrifice. You can't see it. Jesus said, Judas, let me tell you something about what she has done. She is preparing me for burial. Now, all the other disciples, I don't know if you've ever read the Bible, but if you read it, you'll be astounded at how many times the disciples are like, what is he talking about? He's talking about destroying the temple. 3 days later, he'll raise it. He said, I'm going to Jerusalem to offer myself as a sacrifice. I'm getting ready to be betrayed, and I'm going to die. And they're all sitting there like, I don't know what he's talking about. He's like, let me spell it out for you. I am going to the cross to give my life. Here is Mary anointing his feet. She got it. She understood. And she said, he is the Savior of the world. Therefore, I am going to sacrifice. I'm going to take that which is valuable to me, that which I have saved up to get, that which I have put away for a special moment. And as Jesus entered the leper's house with her brother who was raised from the dead, she breaks this box and the fragrance fills the room. Judas looks upon her sacrifice, and the thing that Jesus missed the most was that Jesus was worthy of worship. This morning as we come into his house, I want you to know Jesus is worthy of worship. When Judas looked at Mary's sacrifice, he said, it's wasteful. And Jesus said, no, it's worship. Sacrifice is not waste. It is worship. This morning, if you could wrap your mind around that, you would learn that your life has been lent to you by a gracious God. He has let you have borrowed time and breath, and that time and breath has been lent to you to give away. When you start learning to give your life away, give your life away. In your marriage, give your life away. To your children, give your life away. But most importantly, and do not forget this, the one that we owe everything to is the Savior of the world. You see, Judas missed out on this whole picture because he was all about gain and not about giving. You see, Judas was an opportunist. He was what I would call a relationship mathematician. Have you ever known somebody that was always calculating? Has anybody ever known anybody like this? Like, it seemed like every conversation that you were in, you could tell that they're angling, right? Like their compliments are always angled at getting something. Or the reason why they do their good deeds is not to be good or not to be godly, but it's to get something from you or from someone. Opportunists always are calculating in a relationship equation, do I stand to gain from this event? Whenever Mary broke the box, he looked at her sacrifice and he said, well, now she's wasted that. I no longer have anything to gain from this decision. Therefore, he criticized it and wrapped it in spiritual garb, but Jesus exposed it. And he said, Peter, you don't even know what you're talking about. I'm sorry, Judas, you don't even know what you're talking about. What she did is a beautiful thing. You see, this morning, if you're all about yourself, you're missing out on all the beautiful messages that God is trying to get to you this morning. You might have even allowed the cross to escape your attention. The one thing I love about Easter is it always brings us back, right? Doesn't it? Doesn't it bring us back to what this life is all about? Here was Judas missing all these opportunities to turn from his sin. Whenever Jesus called him out, I think Judas realized who Jesus was before all the other 12 apostles. And he said to himself, he went through the emotional equation of the relationship, he did the math, and he said, Jesus is no longer valuable to me. I can't use him any longer. He's not going to be a king that delivers us. He really is going to die, and this cause will be over. I'm not going to waste my opportunity. I'm going to make a political decision. I'm going to pivot for my self-need, and I'm going to go to the priest, and I'm going to betray him. Listen to what Judas did. It says, then one of the 12, whose name was Judas, went to the chief priests and said, what will you give me if I deliver him over to you? And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray Jesus. We know that it was a short time later, just a few days later, Jesus was out in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was praying, and the Bible says that he was under such stress that he began to sweat drops of blood. He was out there in the garden. He said, "Father, if this cup could pass from me, I pray, Father, if there's any other way, then make it known to me." And then in the same moment, he surrenders his will to the Father's, and he says, "But not my will, Father, but not my will, but yours be done." The Son of Man is ready to be poured out for the sins of the world. And after he finished praying, here comes Judas with a mob from the priests. And they walk into the Garden of Gethsemane, and Judas walks through the crowd and goes up and he says, "Hail, Rabbi." Rabbi meaning teacher or master. So with his lips, he continues to speak lies. He walks up to Jesus and he kisses him on the cheek, a greeting that was reserved for those that were friends. Jesus looks at Judas just like he looks at you this morning. And he says, "Judas, Judas, do you betray me with a kiss?" He says that Jesus was led off to be tried. And at the trial, the high priest sentenced him to death. And when Judas saw that Jesus was sentenced to death, it says that he was seized with remorse. That he felt guilt and he felt regret. So much so that he took the 30 pieces of silver that he had been paid. And he went back to the priest and he said, I don't want this. I've betrayed innocent blood. Take it from me." And they said, "If you've betrayed innocent blood, that's between you and God. It's not our concern." The Bible says that he threw it on the temple ground and he said, I'm guilty. And he runs out from there, and the Bible says he hangs himself. This morning, walk with me through this. If you get to the place of guilt and regret, to where there's no other options for your life, would you say that that was the point of despair? Would you say that that is the point of hopelessness? I want you to see something this morning, that regret without repentance leads to death. That this morning, if you are honest this morning, we've all betrayed Christ in our sin. As a result of our sin, we stand before him condemned. We stand before him guilty. We've betrayed him. He was innocent, and we are not. He got something he did not deserve. We are getting everything that we do deserve because of our sin. And here is Judas completely missing this moment. He has regret, and all he has to do is pivot toward Christ and cry out for mercy. Cry out in repentance, desiring a change of heart, because he had this realization that what is done cannot be undone. Have you ever done something that you regret? Have you ever said something that you regret? It just eats away at you inside, and you wish that you could take it back. You wish that you could undo it. There are certain relationships I'm sure that all of us have that have been severed as a result of your sin or their sin. It doesn't matter. The sin has separated you, and as a result, you no longer have that relationship because no one is willing to repent in the relationship. Here was Judas, and Jesus was saying, "Say something. Betrayest thou me with a kiss? Say something, Judas, and I could take it all away." The message I have for you this morning is we all have regrets. It's whether or not we add repentance to it. Because regret without repentance is a weight that you cannot bear. That if you carry it long enough, it will get the best of you. And it'll lead you to have a life that is filled with misery and bitterness rather than joy and mercy. At this time, we have an in-sermon illustration we'd like to perform for you this morning. And there's a song by a great big world called Say Something. And the song is about a married couple or two lovers, and one sees the relationship is coming to an end and they're crying out, they're begging the other person to say something before the relationship ends. I would have done anything to reach you, but you would not respond. And as we listen to this song, I want you to watch this clip, and we're going to see Judas betray, and we're going to see Peter betray, we're going to see the people betray, and the priest betray, and Pilate betray. And as we close up the sermon after this song, I want you to ask yourself, what have you done with your regret this morning?
Latin, here. Adnar kar beini, beinek.
Hi.
I will do.
Say something, I'm giving up on you. I'll be the one if you want me to. Anywhere I would have followed you. say something, I'm giving up on you. I'm sorry that I couldn't get to you. And anywhere I
we consider Judas. Here the Son of God was saying, Judas, it doesn't have to end this way. Judas, you could turn. But he would not. He resisted the grace of God all the way to his death. Peter also betrayed, and after Jesus died and was laid in the tomb, Peter made a decision. He said, you know what? I'm going back. I'm going back to what I used to do. I'm going back to what I know. He said, I'm going back to fishing. And on the third day after Jesus had risen from the grave, it says that they were out in the boat and they were fishing. And they had fished all night and they had caught nothing. And there was a man standing on the seashore and he said, children, do you have any fish? And they said, we have none. He said, cast your net on the other side of the boat. And they cast their nets on the other side of the boat, and it says, all at once, their nets were filled to the point of overflowing. Peter looks at John and he says, it's the Lord. The Bible says that while the other ones began to row toward the shoreline, Peter dives into the water, swims with all of his might, gets to the seashore, runs, falls at the feet of Jesus. And they begin to have a dialogue. And in that dialogue, Jesus gives us the option that we have for us this morning. Jesus said to Peter, do you love me? I can take away all of your regret in just a moment. Do you love me? I can restore your calling. Do you love me? I can redeem your purpose. Peter, all in this moment, if you would allow me, I can change your life forever. It doesn't have to end this way. Today, I set before you a choice, a tale of two men. One who had regret without repentance that led to death, and the other who had regret, who had betrayed just like all of us. But in his moment that God gave him, he did not miss the message. He said, God, I choose you. I choose forgiveness. I choose mercy, not because I'm worthy, but because you're so awesome. Because of your grace, because of your generosity. God, I want my life to still count. And Jesus said, it's not too late to turn it around, Peter. This morning, my message to you is you might have walked in here filled with regret and guilt, and you're sitting in your ship filled with nothing. And Jesus is standing on the shoreline saying, if you'll come to me, I can make it all better. That we could change this morning. That I could wipe away your regret. That I could restore your calling. That I could redeem your purpose. The choice is yours this morning. Lastly, Pilate looked at Jesus and said, say something. Don't you realize? Don't you realize who I am? Don't you realize I have the power to deliver you from this moment, that I could choose to crucify you or set you free? And Jesus looked at him and said, you have no power. You have no power except what my Father has given to you. Do you know what Jesus was saying? I'm not here because I have to be. I'm here because I choose to be. This morning, because of our betrayal and because of our guilt, Jesus chose to be crucified so that he might give you a choice this morning. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? Would you guys stand with us? And we're going to sing a song called I Exalt Thee. And as we sing this song, I pray that if God has forgiven you of your guilt, if he has wiped away your regret. If he's ever restored you from a fall or redeemed you from a mistake, then you might take this day, this high and holy day of Easter Sunday, and bring before him the worship that he deserves, that we might fill this place with the fragrance that Mary broke open 2,000 years ago, acknowledging that sacrifice is not waste, it is worship. Would you guys join with us this morning?